Hey, it's time for Windows Weekly, and boy, do we have a show for you. We get depressed by Windows Phone, rejuvenated by Windows 10, and Dr. Pizza drops by with some tea. Windows Weekly is next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley. Episode 421, recorded July 8th, 2015. Microsoft's New Groove. This episode of Windows Weekly is brought to you by Lynda.com, the online learning platform with over 3,000 on-demand video courses to help you strengthen your business, technology, and creative skills. For a free 10-day trial, visit lynda.com/windows. That's lynda.com/windows. It's time for Windows Weekly. It's the show that Windows aficionados need to stay abreast of the latest and greatest from Redmond. Of course, joining us today is Mary Jo Foley. Paul Thurrott is on vacation, but we've got Mary Jo to give us all the hottest news from all about Microsoft. Mary Jo, good to see you.
It's good to see you.
And, of course, you've brought in a special guest. You know him as Peter Bright, but I think more of the internet knows him as Dr. Pizza, of course, in his dashing one-up cap. Thank you very much for coming on to Windows Weekly.
Hi.
Mary Jo, this has been... Thank you. I'm not sure where that's coming from, but it's a perfect sound effect.
It's not me, I promise.
This has been an interesting week for Windows people, starting with Windows 10. Windows 10 is making all the news.
Windows 10. What about Windows Phone, Padre?
Well, I mean, we got to get to that. We're going to bury that lead because we want to, you know, make people wait for that because that's the bigger story.
Do you?
Not really.
Really?
No.
We'll go in your order.
Let's do Windows Phone.
Okay.
Well, they're pretty closely related now.
Or yeah. They are, actually.
Say yep. That right now they're not, but they're on the cusp of being closely related. Which is why today's news is even more surprising. You got to do the news, Mary Jo. Like,
yeah, I can. I'll give the news, and then we'll do our rants after I do the news. So today, July 8th, Microsoft announced they're laying off 7,800 people, almost all of whom are working in some capacity on Windows Phone. They also announced they're going to write down the Nokia acquisition they made. They bought Nokia's handset business about a year ago for $7.2 billion. And today their write-down of the Nokia acquisition is $7.6 billion. It's not a good day to be a Windows Phone user, but it's not a complete disaster. Microsoft said Microsoft did say they're staying in the Windows Phone business and that they're going to still launch flagship Lumia devices later this year. They also said that they're going to target three segments with Windows Phone going forward. They're going to target business users. They're going to target the volume, low budget kind of phone users. And they're also going to target people who want to buy flagship phones. And they also did say that they're going to pare down how many models they're launching into the channel. Because right now, as people who try to keep track of Windows Phone know, Microsoft names the Windows phones by numbers, and it just seems like there's been an endless parade of different numbers being announced, mostly in the mid-range to low-end over the past year. Now they're telling people that they're going to only have one or two new models per year for each of those three segments, the business user, the budget phone, and the flagship phone. So that's just the pure news of today. Take that at face value. And I'll let Dr. Pizza rant a little. I know he wants to.
Yeah, I think it's astonishing timing. I think it's... as we alluded to before, Windows Phone 8 and Windows 8 are closely related, but it's with Windows 10 that this long-standing Microsoft ambition of having one Windows... You know, what is it? Windows everywhere. It is actually practical. And for the last probably 2 years, maybe longer. Microsoft has been selling its developer community this idea of universal apps, where you'll have a common API across the PC, the tablet, the phone, and then lately the Xbox and even the HoloLens. And you know, you might tailor your app for the user interface, but it'll be the same code with the same APIs, giving developers pretty broad reach. And that was actually going to be delivered this year. It's still not out yet because Windows 10 still ain't done. And Windows 10 Mobile is still a few months away. And even before it's on the market, Microsoft announces, yeah, by the way, our investment in Windows Phone is being drastically cut back. You know, massively reduced. We're going to have fewer phones, fewer people working on phones. And so this whole promise of the universal apps, which was in some ways contingent on having phones as one of the things they can reach, is being undermined. And undermined before anyone can even try the damn thing.
Okay, but if you were Satya, what would you have done? Because it obviously wasn't working the way it was, right? I mean, Windows Phone now has 2.7% market share worldwide, even less than 3%, which was kind of previously.
Well, you know, I think they made things difficult for themselves by screwing up their flagship handset. Not having any kind of fallback handset was difficult. You know, there are markets like in parts of Europe where Windows Phone has reached sort of 10-11%, like in Southern Europe.
Yeah.
And even there it's declining because they don't have the sort of full product mix, because the Lumia 930 is their flagship. It's still a nice phone, but it's pretty old now. It hasn't been replaced. Their replacement was cancelled. McLaren, the replacement. So they haven't had a full range of products. Little things like Cortana is still in alpha in a lot of those languages, like in English and Chinese. It's sort of beta quality. In like French, German, Spanish, Italian, I think it exists, but only in alpha quality. So they haven't really tried to strengthen their position in those markets. And I think the whole thing is just astonishing. I think you don't abandon the market now. You know, like if Windows 10 bombs, or if Universal Apps bomb, sure, okay, whatever, write it all off. But to do it now, before the platform comes out, before they can even see if it works, rather than like a few years down the line, I think is astonishing.
Well, I mean, yeah, I guess you say that, you know, they shouldn't abandon the market now. This is bad timing. But one of the points that Mary Jo Foley made was that they don't have a market. There is no market.
They don't.
2.6% is a rounding error.
But like I say, that's... It's not 2.6 everywhere.
No, it's not. But and maybe that's
and they haven't done a very good job of going after the places where it's more than that. I think, I mean, even if it's 2.6 is still more than zero.
Yeah.
And universal apps are contingent on it being more than zero.
They are, but you know, okay. The question to me is: does Microsoft try to do what the Android phone vendors are doing and just, you know, have a million OEMs, scatter it to the wind, let the chips fall where they may? Or do they try to be more like Apple, have a few premium devices, and hope that there are some people who haven't already bought into the Apple ecosystem who still want a Windows phone? They're betting more towards that market, it looks like, with their own phones. But I would argue they're leaving the mass market to OEM. So I feel almost like they're combining the Android and the Apple strategy and just hoping they can at least hang on as number three. That to me is what it feels like. It doesn't feel like they're abandoning the market. I feel like they're just, I feel like this is their last attempt to be in the market.
I think they're abandoning it. I don't think you can go after the value segment with one or two models. I don't think it works. If you look at like phones in India, for example, which is a sort of big market, but a value-oriented market, you have phones at every price point. Because, like, okay, in the US, if you have a phone at $80 and a phone at $90, it's probably not helping you a great deal. Am I still... Sorry, I froze. But in markets like India, where, you know, incomes are much lower, having a phone at $80, $90, $100 actually makes some sense, because that's how you can reach that audience. And so, I think it looks like Satya in his email talks about a broader Windows ecosystem, as if OEMs are going to fill this gap, as if the OEMs are going to provide the breadth that currently Microsoft does.
Well, they need to offer an olive branch to the OEMs. That ship may have sailed. They really burned their OEMs with the first generation of Windows phones. And I don't see why any of the major players would want to get back into there. Now, I get why people are saying over and over that Microsoft can't abandon this market. It is a very profitable market. They see it. They just want to crack it. They want a foot in there because it's what you need to be a player. But one of the things that really has me kind of wondering from the announcement is that idea of focusing. That's a great buzzword, but they say they want to focus on business, value phone, and flagships, but they don't really give a roadmap for that. What does it mean to be a business phone, an enterprise phone, a value phone, a flagship phone, other than price? Is it just price, or are they actually starting to say, we're going to roll out different feature sets so that people who want to actually support Windows Phone in the enterprise get automatic hooks for our business class software? Is the value phone just going to be a really cheap version of the hardware, or is it going to be a different operating system that's designed to work more like a feature phone?
Yep.
I want to hear that roadmap.
So what we do know is there's at least two versions of Windows 10 Mobile, right? There's the plain old Windows 10 Mobile that I would guess would be the operating system on the kind of value phones. But then there's something called Windows 10 Mobile Enterprise that we know a few things about, but not everything. And I would guess that would be the operating system on whatever they call a business phone.
I don't have the information immediately to hand. I thought that the Mobile 10 Enterprise was going to be a kind of in-place upgrade. You'll buy the phone with Windows 10 Mobile on it, and you'll hook it up somehow to your software assurance agreement, and it will unlock the features. Yeah. I don't think it's going to ship on phones as such. It will be sort of unlock.
An upgrade to that.
Yeah. And yeah. I don't think it's going to do any, like, because it's really hard to make sense of, because things like VPN support are going to be in the standard operating system. Things like remote management through Intune or whatever are going to be in the base operating system. All the major sort of enterprise features are going to be there for everyone, from what I can tell. The Windows 10 Mobile Enterprise thing seems actually really weird. Just like, just roll it into the base SKU, because like 99% of the features are already in the base version. I remember the one difference that they did call out is the upgrading process.
Similar to on
the desktop, where Windows 10 Enterprise will have the long-term stability branch, or sorry, long-term servicing branch, and what's it called, best branch for business, or some ridiculous name for the current branch. Current branch for business. So I assume Windows 10 Mobile Enterprise will have equivalents to one or both of those. Whereas if you're not hooked up to the software assurance agreement, you'll always be on the consumer current branch. Which,
right. So maybe maybe the operating system will be a differentiator. Maybe it won't. I don't know. I can't say as I know what the differences are going to be in these different things. Like, what is a business phone versus a flagship phone? I don't know. You know, I don't think we know. All we know is we've heard rumors about two flagship phones, codenamed Cityman and Talkman, that are coming later this year, we think. But are those going to count as business phones? Are those going to count as flagships? Are all business phone flagship phones? I don't know.
I assume that a business phone is a flagship phone with a slightly worse camera and maybe a slightly smaller screen. That's like, I figure like the 700 and 800 series are kind of business phones. You know, they're a little bit cheaper. They're still nice phones, but they're not quite up there with the 930. That's my assumption of what a business phone is.
I don't think we're going to know for a while. Like Dr. Pizza said at the beginning, Windows 10 Mobile is not going to be out for a number of months. And you know, Microsoft doesn't want to show their hand on their roadmap right now. We don't really know what this is.
We don't know how long this is going to take to sort of trickle through. Because like, most of the phones they've released so far have been from the sort of inherited Nokia pipeline.
Right.
So I assume that pipeline is mostly flushed out now. So the flagships we get later this year, I assume they're going to be kind of pure Microsoft, you know, start to finish under Microsoft ownership. Obviously Nokia personnel, but you know, Microsoft ownership.
We should talk about this a little, because another thing I asked Microsoft today when I was talking to some people there was, are you guys actually going to make these phones, or are you going to outsource the manufacturing and then just put the Microsoft name on them? And they wouldn't answer that question. They said no comment. So, it may also be the case that there are phones already being built by Microsoft's outsourcing partners, maybe Foxconn and Pegatron, those kind of companies.
Fine. I mean, yeah, they build it's a totally good product.
Agreed.
They're still got a few thousand former Nokia people, even after today's firings.
Think they have left about, I was calculating this earlier. So when Microsoft acquired Nokia's handset business, they got 25,000 people from Nokia. Then they laid off last year 12,500 of those people. If you believe that many of today's 7,800 are also Nokia people, then you're down to about 4,700 Nokia people left, roughly.
If they're all sort of like engineering product people, but no one working on an assembly line, then sure, the effect may not be quite so great.
Yeah.
Because, you know, because they'll still have the same number of people actually designing the phones, just outsource the manufacturing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Does anyone get the sense that this is sort of kicking the can down the road a little bit? I mean, we've seen the layoffs. We've sort of seen the writing on the wall for this. The Nokia acquisition did not go well. They've written down everything, right? I mean, between this and the write down that they did 6 months ago, they're essentially saying that was a bust. That's not going to be worth anything to us. Right, Mary Jo?
Right. That is correct.
So they're now saying that we're hinging our mobile strategy on some intellectual property, some talent that we acquired from a write down that's actually less than zero right now, if you include everything that they invested in the company. And they're saying we're now going to focus, even though they're not, as you pointed out, they're not really giving us a roadmap for what that focus is going to look like. We know that something's going to change in Windows 10, but no one really understands what they could change with Windows 10 Mobile that could possibly make the strategy make sense. Everyone's saying they need to stay in mobile, but I'm still wondering. I haven't heard a convincing argument as to why they need to stay in this.
Well, I think if you believe that to be a participant in the computing sector these days that you need to have a mobile play, you could argue Microsoft's mobile play is they become the apps and services provider for other mobile platforms. That could be their play. But if you yourself believe that you have an operating system that should be part of that, you have to have a way to get that operating system to market. And right now, there is no other OEM that's championing Windows Phone except Microsoft itself. I mean, they have other OEMs, obviously. They have, oh, I'm trying to think of the names. There's lots of regional ones.
They actually have more now than I think they've ever had in the past.
They have Arcos like and Kazam and Blue and Yez.
Yeah, right? All of these little ODMs and things.
Right.
It's
so they have OEMs. But somebody who could build a really nice device that could be a flagship phone or something a business would want to have distributed to their employees if they're in a, you know, distribute your device to the employees kind of a program. There isn't a company who's stepped up to do that. So if you are Microsoft and you think you should have a mobile version of Windows that survives, you have to keep making the hardware until somebody steps up, I think. I don't think they can totally get out yet. I think if this last kind of reorg and attempt this time fails, then maybe they just say, okay, we tried and we're done.
But why? I mean, people keep telling me that. They have to stay in this market. They have to stay here. Why? I don't understand why. Their software, the things that they make the most money off of, will run on other operating systems.
Windows won't, and they make a ton of money on that.
Well, they make money on the OS, but I mean, as Satya's trying to tell us, they're trying to move into services. Well, services will run no matter what platform you're running. And it seems as if they're saying, well, you have to keep this screen, this second screen. There's the laptop screen, the desktop screen, and the mobile screen.
I don't think these things exist in isolation. I think, so if you are a Windows developer, your skill sets will actually let you write for, the skills don't overlap entirely, but you can write like server-side applications or client-side applications or potentially phone applications altogether. And universal apps were going to even strengthen that in a lot of ways. Now, if you take away the phone, which is probably the dominant app platform at the moment, you know, in terms of where the interest and excitement is and you know, stuff that like traditional even line of business apps are being written for tablets and phones. It's, you know, it's a really big market. And now the people with, so you don't have a Windows phone for people to write for, yet they still want to write these apps because their users want them. Well, that means they're going to learn a set of skills that don't translate very well to Windows, which means they're learning a set of skills that don't translate particularly well to Windows services. I mean, sure, to Microsoft services. Sure, you can run Linux on Azure and run your Linux stack, but you know, I think Microsoft would in some ways prefer you to run Windows and to use SQL Azure and all that kind of thing.
Right. Yeah.
But that's all contingent on developers having these Windows-ish skills. Why would they have those skills if they're not writing Windows software anymore? You know, it's not going to be an immediate effect.
Another good argument from Keshwar White, who's listening and tweeted this. He said, you know, if you own your own OS, you can do much deeper level integration. And that is very true. Like if you look at Cortana on Windows Phone versus Cortana that's going to come to Android or iOS, because Microsoft owns the platform, they can get into the lower levels of the operating system and do things that they won't be able to do with the Cortana apps on these other mobile platforms. So another reason to try to own it, right, is because you own the whole thing top to bottom.
Yeah. And I think Satya Nadella is still saying, you know, Windows will do these things best. I think his strategy statement from late June, I think he's still proposed this idea of, yes, we'll have a Microsoft experience on all platforms, but I think he was still saying, but the Windows one will be best, because you can have this kind of integration. You'll have Cortana, I think the latest Office 2016 has some kind of Cortana integration.
It does.
The latest beta.
It does.
As you mentioned, like Cortana on iOS probably won't be able to plumb into everything. Like on Windows Phone and maybe on Android, she can plumb into everything. But on iOS, she won't, because she'll just be an app and not part of the operating system.
Yep.
So
what
yeah,
that
this
you say
idea.
She? That's
well,
nice.
You know, she is a it. It sounds so impersonal. Yeah, and that's one of the things. Having your own platform lets you show this is like the best experience.
Yeah.
And you need to have those products so that, hey, if people say, wow, you know, you're right. This is the best experience. This is actually worth having.
Yep.
You want to have something to sell them.
And I'm totally down with that. I love that idea of saying, okay, we are going to make this the platform that you're going to want to be in. It's going to be so smooth. It's going to be so enticing that you're going to want to use Windows Phone. But then the strategy that they announced doesn't say that. They say they're going to go for value for business and then and for the flagship. And well, you're not going to get that. I mean, what good is having access to the lowest levels of the hardware to have complete control over the integration if you're still going to allow OEMs to put out $90 phones? Then you're not really controlling the experience. You really have the horrible experience that you buy because it's the only one you can afford. And maybe you have the flagship that does something special.
No, because I think every Windows phone, whoever makes it, is going to have the same level of integration with Cortana. No,
I think they've done a pretty good job of keeping that experience up, even on, you know, even on cheap hardware. And I think that would continue. You know, if OEMs were building these cheap phones, I would like to think that would continue. You know, I think it can continue.
Yeah, you know, I think you probably have reviewed some of the phones, Dr. Pizza. I know Paul has before. And these phones from people like Yez and Blue, he actually likes those phones a lot, even though they're much cheaper than what you would consider to be a flagship phone. He's very upbeat about those.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think Microsoft has done a good job of you know, because the hardware requirements, though they're more liberal than they were, I think they're still fairly strict. You know, there aren't too many processor options, for example.
Yeah.
So things like performance, you know, Microsoft has a fairly good idea of how the performance will be and can make sure it's good enough. So I think the experience will be okay. As long as the OEMs build the devices in the first place. And that's what I, you know, for Microsoft, building them makes sense because Microsoft has a broader platform to support. But why should an OEM take a punt on some phones that are barely selling?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's very, I think this is going to become, and Kevin Turner, who's a COO, said this in an email I saw today, it's going to be akin to how they view their place with PCs and the Surface, right? So Microsoft is making tablets, the tablet that can replace your laptop, the Surface line. And they still have OEMs, right? But their idea in making the Surface is to have these devices that you can say, see, customers, this is how awesome this can be. This is how it works when you have a pen that integrates right with the device. And I think that's what Windows phones from Microsoft are going to become, at least the business ones and the flagship ones. They're going to become kind of the showcase, right? The showcase devices that Microsoft needs to show people what's possible. And then there will be OEM phones too, and they won't be, you know, it won't just be a bunch of crap phones, but they won't be as kind of tightly integrated and all inclusive as these Windows phones from Microsoft. Mm-hmm. I think that's the hope and thinking.
Yeah. I think that is the thinking. And you know, so future Microsoft phones could be equivalents to the Nexus program from Google or Surface from Microsoft as kind of reference designs or sort of aspirational kind of best case designs. The difference I feel is that the PC OEMs were always going to build PCs. Now the PC OEMs I think have really stepped up their game.
Like, me too.
I would never imagine getting the Dell XPS 13 two or three years ago. You know, just it's a nice machine. It's well put together. It looks good. You know, it's a really good machine, and I don't think the Dell of 3 or 4 years ago would ever have built it. The HP Spectre X360, same thing. Really nice machine, and HP of 3 years ago would never have built it.
Right.
So I think, you know, I think Surface, amongst other things, has been influential in that market. I don't think it's the only influence, but I think it's helped make people a little more aware of like design and caring a little more about that. I think the Nexus program from Google, it's probably less useful now, but like the first Nexus phones did raise the bar in terms of like hardware sensors and things like that. So that can be done. Yeah. But I think in both cases, the OEMs were always going to build Android phones and they were always going to build PCs. Nexus and Surface have shaped the market somewhat and influenced them to build in particular ways. But they were always going to build something. That's much less clear to me for Windows Phone. You know, I think Windows Phone is much easier for these OEMs to just drop and stick with Android.
I like the flagship idea, this whole idea of Microsoft's Nexus program. But I think one of the big differences between what Microsoft needs to do and what Google did with the Nexus is the hardware is not the issue. Early Android hardware was bad. It was really, really bad. It was flaky. It was not efficient on power. The screens weren't great. We've got beautiful hardware. I would argue that Windows phones as a whole have some of the most beautiful hardware, some of the most well-designed hardware that you're going to find in the mobile market. And it can hang its hat with any other manufacturer. But I think if they're going to have a Nexus program, it has to show off the integration. And I'm hoping that's Windows 10 to show you why, if you use Windows, because I use Windows, that's on all my boxes. Show me why I need a Windows mobile phone, because it's going to do things that I can't do with my Android or my iPhone.
Right.
And if they don't do that, then they don't have a Nexus program. They just have nice hardware again.
Right. Padre, you've probably seen the demos of Continuum for Windows Phone.
Yes.
Have you seen
that? That's a killer app. But
that is a killer.
They don't push it. I mean, I haven't seen them really play with it at all.
Continuum needs new hardware.
Right.
It needs new hardware. That's the big stumbling block. It's something about having multiple displays. Continuum will need new phones. So although your current Windows Phone 8 devices will run Windows 10, they won't get Continuum.
Yeah.
But it looks, you know, that could be a really big feature.
It could. And that could be a differentiator, right? And some reason that you would say as a business customer or a home user, whatever, you'd say, hey, that actually makes me interested in Windows Phone. But, you know, they can't actually show that feature till they have the hardware.
The hardware.
It's kind of a catch 22 for them on that. They've demoed it, obviously, and people have seen it. I think even live. Did we see it live? I can't remember at Build.
I'm pretty sure we saw it.
I think we did. Yeah.
I mean, it's a plausible feature. Like, I don't think they'd need to really lie about it. You know, it's all sort of understandable, but it's not on any current hardware, not in the current builds.
I think I think the two of you have given me hope. When I read this, I was hoping I wouldn't read it. I read your blog post this morning as I was groggily getting out of bed, and I was thinking, oh, is this it? I mean, because I've seen this happen before, where they make an announcement that sounds like a half-hearted, we're pushing forward, but then they end up ditching the platform in a year.
Yeah.
Is this Satya really putting Windows Phone on the footing that it needs to have something successful in Windows 10? Or is this his way of stepping back and saying, well, we tried, but we're done?
To me, it kind of feels like, okay, we're giving you guys one more chance to make a go of this.
Okay, that's fair.
And they took the Windows Phone team when they took all of the devices team, and they put those people in the same group now with Windows. Before, they were two different groups. And that's when Stephen Elop left the company a couple weeks ago. To me, this is like, okay, Terry, you've got everybody now. You've got the operating system. You've got the hardware. Let's see if you can make this work. And if you can't, then maybe we just become a software and services company and even less of a Windows company at that point.
Dr. Pizza?
Yeah, I disagree. I think this is cutting it off at the knees before it's even been released.
Wow.
Yeah.
So this is it. It's just going to slowly fade into obscurity. Maybe Mary Jo is right. Maybe this is Satya saying you've got one last chance, but at the same time he's saying you've got one last chance, but you could only do it with half your limbs.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh.
Yeah.
So we're not going to see anything spectacular from Windows 10 Mobile?
I am sure there will be nice hardware. Like, I'm sure the flagships will be perfectly nice.
What do you use, Dr. Pizza? What's your phone?
I'm one of these people who has been bitten by the lack of flagship. I have a Lumia 920, and the battery life is appalling. And I would really like to upgrade it, but
yeah,
what do I upgrade it to?
I know. You kind of are stuck waiting now.
Yeah, it's still some months away before there'll be something to upgrade to.
Yeah.
Okay, you just took my hope away now. I was kind of hoping to end the story on a high note, but oh, Dr. Pizza.
I could understand if like we were sort of 2-3 years after Windows 10 had been out, if universal apps still weren't catching on, if Windows Phone was still, particularly in the US, struggling. Sure, I would understand then. But to do it now just seems so strange to me.
You know, the reason the now part is definitely not connected to the launch of the product. It's actually more connected to earnings, right? And Microsoft's earnings, their next report is July 21st. This is also their start of their new fiscal year, July 1st. Every start of the fiscal year is when they have these reorgs and when last couple of years layoffs, right? So that's what the timing is. Unfortunately, it does line up with the Windows 10 launch, which is July 29th. Right, but it doesn't line up with the Windows 10 mobile launch, at least.
Microsoft has a huge capacity to keep minimally money-making and or loss-making business units around. So, yes, I understand they're going to do it right at the start of their financial year, but it didn't have to be this one.
Yeah, I think, you know, if you look at who is happy about this announcement today, look at Microsoft's stock price. Well, right now it's at 44, but it was up earlier today. It was at, 44.6 earlier today. Now it's 44.
Is it still trading? I thought the NYSE was still down.
Oh, right. Is it still down? I'm looking at the time. Yeah, I know. That's been up and down all day, too.
Which, by the way, we have confirmed is running on Linux. So.
Oh, really? Is
yeah.
But, you know, that's Wall Street. They could just decide just out of, on a whim, hey, we're going to sack 20,000 people. Share price will go up.
Right. It would. Yep. And I'm not saying I agree with the yay on that, but that is how that typically works, sadly. Yeah. So I think under the new Microsoft, and especially with Amy Hood as the chief financial officer, they seem a lot less willing to let businesses just kind of ride and lose money. They seem like in the past year plus very much more attuned to looking at where things are not making money and making cuts. And yeah, the timing isn't fantastic for Windows 10, but yeah.
And that's the way that I'm actually seeing it. I actually don't think it's as doom and gloom as some people are portraying. I think what Satya's doing was absolutely necessary. And I think I'm actually with Mary Jo. I think he's giving some of these departments that have the potential to really show them something to actually do it. But as I think, Mary Jo, you pointed this out last week, this is part of those tough choices, the tough cuts. Is. You got to prune the tree. The Microsoft tree has gotten so out of control. They've got divisions that they don't even remember still exist.
Yeah, like display advertising, which they offloaded last week. Yeah, last week. I mean, a lot of people were like, "Wait, Microsoft's in display advertising?" It's like, yeah, they are still. So yeah, there's a lot of things that could be trimmed and pruned at Microsoft. Yeah.
All right, I got to take a cleansing breath because that was a lot of negativity out there. When we come back, can we please talk about Windows 10 RTM? Because this is good news, and I want to bring some good news to the Windows faithful. Is that a possibility? Can we do that?
Let's do it.
Let's do that. But before we do that, let's go ahead and take a moment to thank the sponsor for this episode of Windows Weekly. Now, no matter what your operating system, no matter what your position in life might be, if you're a developer, if you're an IT person, if you're an engineer, if you're just a geek who's watching the show because you like to know what's going on in Geekland, you need to have a place where you can go, a repository of knowledge on the internet that you can actually trust, that you can go to time after time, and it will have the answers you need. And that's why we're happy to have Lynda.com as a sponsor of Windows Weekly. Now, lynda.com is a place for problem solvers. It's a place for curious people, those who want to learn new skills and those people who want to brush up on the skills that they already have. Maybe you want to learn Excel. Maybe you want to learn HTML. Maybe you want to master a new programming language. Well, lynda.com can do all that, plus everything in between that and home improvement. If you're interested in photography, lynda.com just added a new weekly series called The DIY Photographer. Now, in the first installment, they're going to teach you how to make your own macro lens for just a few dollars. There's also a series of brand new courses on Adobe's Creative Cloud updates for 2015, which include tutorials on Photoshop, Premiere Pro, Audition, After Effects, InDesign, and Illustrator. Now, you probably have heard that here at the Twit Brickhouse, we switched over from OS X running Final Cut to Windows boxes, very powerful Windows boxes, running Adobe Premiere Pro. We needed a reference for our editors so that they could take their experience with Final Cut Pro and translate it into Premiere. Well, that's what we use Lynda for. They give you transcripts, so rather than having to sit through an entire video to find that one nugget, that one command, that one keystroke, that one shortcut that you need, you could type it in, it will find it in the transcript, and you go directly to that section of the video. It's that simple. Now, with a lynda.com membership, you can watch and learn from top experts. You can stream thousands of video courses on demand. And most importantly, you can learn on your own schedule. You get to choose when you learn, on what device. You can start on one device and switch over to another. You can learn at the pace that you need to learn to. You can take notes and read them later. You can even make playlists and share them with your friends to tell them, hey, this is what I'm doing right now. Do any of you want to get into photography? Do any of you want to get into drone building? Do any of you want to get into, oh, I don't know, Swift programming? Now, lynda.com is the place we want you to go. You can get a lynda.com membership right now to get unlimited access to training on hundreds of topics, all for one low flat rate. Whether you're looking to become an expert, you're passionate about a hobby, or you just want to learn something new, I think you should try lynda.com. Go to lynda.com/windows and sign up for a free 10-day trial. That's lynda.com/windows. Remember, lynda.com/windows. And we thank Lynda for their support of Windows Weekly. Mary Jo Foley, this is what I wanted to start with because it's a happy story. Windows 10 is just, yeah, it's a Paul Thurrott story. Windows 10 is just about to go RTM and it looks good.
I can't say from personal experience it looks good because I think you've heard me say I'm not running it. So I'm going to be an awesome test case on July 29th.
You're not having it at all.
And that's on purpose. That's on purpose. You wanted to keep that slate nice and clean.
Yeah. And also, I'm not the kind of person who has the patience. I watch what Dr. Pizza and Paul go through, like installing and trying to get things updated. And like, I'm like, nope, not me. I'm a journalist. Sorry. Yeah.
I needed it running. So I put it on an i7 box I had sitting in my lab because you need Windows 10 running to install Windows 10 on a Pi.
Yeah.
And that's my excuse.
Oh, yeah. You're running on Raspberry Pi, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, but it is supposedly just about to RTM. I think Brad Sams at NeoWin said July 9th, which is tomorrow. I haven't heard the exact date. I've just consistently heard mid-July. So we're about in mid-July now. And it has to be fairly soon because the launch, the soft launch, as I like to call it, is July 29th. So they need to have an RTM before that.
OEMs I've spoken to promise they will have at least some hardware on store shelves with Windows 10 on July 29th. So, it's got to be very soon because, you know, their lead time is probably a couple of weeks, I'm sure.
Do either of you know which features are being left out of the RTM? Because I know there are some features that they're going to hold back on. That's not a mistake. It's actually part of their Windows as a service strategy. So what components am I seeing right now that are going to be left out of the box I buy brand fresh off of Acer?
Well, I don't know if the components you're seeing in the preview will be left out. I feel like right now the preview you're seeing is what you're going to get, basically.
That's my understanding.
But you know, Microsoft's going to keep rolling out after July 29th. They're going to keep the Insider's Preview program going. So there are already branches being tested inside Microsoft that are post RTM branches. they're going to have features that don't come out on July 29th. So you can think about things like, you know, Microsoft's alternative to Apple Pay. That's not in the version that's going to RTM, but it's going to be, that set of features will be coming to Windows 10, I would guess, this fall. There are other things like that.
So like the extension support in Edge.
Yep.
Not going to be an RTM, not in the preview builds right now, but it will be coming sometime after RTM. And it will be previewed before it's sort of released properly.
Right. Yep.
Mary Jo, how do you get that news? So when it does go RTM, is that just you calling someone at Microsoft that you know and, and saying, has it been shipped off to the manufacturers?
Well, you know, I wonder if they're going to announce this or not. Some years when they've done Windows releases, they make a big deal. Hey, we RTM'd. With the way that Windows is being built now, I would guess they're not going to officially announce RTM. I bet we'll just have to hear it from our sources who will say, hey, they RTM'd it yesterday. There was a big party. Yay. I don't think we're going to see a formal announcement, but I might be wrong. They might, you know, make a big deal out of RTM to kind of counter today's news about layoffs and say, hey, look, we RTM'd. You know, you never know how they're going to play that.
And everybody laid off gets a free copy of Windows 10.
Oh, God, that would be awful.
It would be pretty bad. Oh, no.
No, don't even do that. Hint at
don't
that.
Do that. Oh, wow. And so with Windows 10 going RTM, and of course, we've already talked about Windows Mobile. What do we expect to see over the next 6 months or so? So by the new year, Windows 10 should have gotten its first as-a-service deployments. We should have been able to find out whether or not that actually works and if people like being able to buy components and have them immediately installed on their systems. What does Microsoft need by the end of this year in order to say Windows 10 has wiped the taste of Windows 8 out of its mouth?
I would argue they need businesses to start actually saying it's a viable option. I mean, there were some businesses who upgraded to Windows 8, mostly Windows 8.1. But they're really making a very concerted effort with Windows 10 to reach out to businesses specifically. So I think if you start seeing businesses kicking the tires or even starting to do some pilot rollouts this year, that to me will mean, okay, they did it. They actually pulled it off. And at least they're making it palatable to people who still want to use Windows on PCs with mice and keyboards, that which was a whole group of people they kind of left out with Windows 8.
But is that doable? I mean, I'm with you. Again, from the enterprise side, I want to see IT departments actually saying, I could see deploying this on my boxes. I could see supporting this in my network. But with Windows 7 support going for many, many more years, and with most businesses very happy with how Windows 7 is running, I don't know if they'd get that, even if it's a great operating system, just because it's not as bad as Windows 8.
Yeah. I think it's more a case, you know, a lot of companies still, the way they get upgrades to a new version of Windows is when they replace PCs, right? And so if they're at a point where they have departments that need new PCs or they want to roll out new PCs, or also, you know, because businesses are on volume licensing agreements, so they have the rights to upgrade to Windows 10 whenever they need them, since they're already paying for it, basically. Yeah. So, you know, I think if we just at least see interest this year, at least a start of interest among businesses, it's a very good sign.
Mary Jo, part of the Windows 10 launch is Microsoft is coming up with hopefully a better strategy for selling content on its platform. Google has one. Apple has one. Now, Microsoft has a rebranding of their Xbox Music service, right?
Right. Yeah, I'm dying to hear what Dr. Pizza thinks of this, but Microsoft announced this week that they're rebranding Xbox Music to Groove. Groove, just like, you know, the product that they bought when they bought Groove Networks.
That's not what they were using at all.
And when they bought Ray Ozzie.
Right, when they bought Ray Ozzie, which was actually what has now become OneDrive for Business, used to be SharePoint Workspace. That is what Groove became. So they're just recycling that name, I guess, and now using it as their music service. I hated the name Xbox Music. I thought that was a terrible name for their music service, but I don't know what I feel about Groove. I'm not totally groovy.
I mean, they never did a great job of selling Xbox as their broader entertainment brand. You know, I think that's what they were sort of aiming at.
Yeah. Then they retracted, Xbox. Though, right? And they made Xbox a gaming platform again.
Right. But, well, yeah, now it is, because Xbox Music became Groove. Xbox Video became Video, and it's now, what, TV and Movies, I think it's called, or Movies and TV. One or the other.
Movies and TV. Yeah.
Movies and TV. So Xbox is now back to being pure gaming, which, you know, it all makes sense in and of itself. It's all a little clumsy, though. Joe said on Twitter, the reason for the rename is that people said, but I don't have an Xbox, so why would I use Xbox Music? And I think that was quite a predictable complaint, even when they first started using this name.
I understand why they did it.
Music apps have stupid names. It's fine. It's like Tidal. What's Tidal got to do with music?
True.
The confusion's understandable because, as you mentioned, people associated Xbox with a game console, and why would I buy a streaming music service for a gaming console I don't own? But at the same time, that was also when Microsoft was trying to redefine what the Xbox was. The Xbox, they didn't want it to be just the gaming console. It was going to be your entertainment console.
Right.
And it just didn't pan out that way. So we're talking about $9.99 a month or $99 for a year. So it's a competitively priced music service. Mm-hmm. Did either of you actually use it?
I use it. I still do.
I have an Xbox Music sub. Yeah.
I don't use it, but that's just because I don't have any subscription streaming services.
Oh, you don't?
No,
really?
I don't need it. I watch everything on
YouTube.
You
don't listen to music?
I listen to music on YouTube.
I'm not sure if I'll continue with it. I had it when I lived in Texas, and it was like nice to be able to listen to music in the car without having to sync it to my phone or anything like that. In New York, I can't listen to it on the subway because there's no cell signal on the subway, so it may be less useful now. That's why it was useful to me. It's because, I have more music than I can sync onto a phone. It's tedious to sync music onto the phone, so it was nice for just streaming in the car.
Mary Jo, I haven't kept up to date with Xbox Music streaming music service. Were there any numbers that were broken out of it, or is that just rolled into the Xbox division?
I don't think they break those out. I don't even think I don't believe they even say how many subscribers they have to that.
No.
Well, if you want to play with it, it's going to be in the next preview build of Windows 10. So, of course, Mary Jo won't, because she's waiting for the real deal. But if you are one of the many insiders, one of the people who have been playing with Windows 10, and you want to play with the new Groove, which is not the old Groove, which has become SharePoint, then there you go.
Yeah.
Wow, that's not confusing at all.
But, you know, how many people are going to confuse the name, an old Microsoft product name for SharePoint Workspace with a music service?
On my laptop right now, where OneDrive should be, it still says SkyDrive, because I haven't reinstalled this laptop since it was SkyDrive, and it didn't change the icon or the name. It just changed where points to. So
I have the same.
At some point, I will reinstall this system, and I will have the actual name of the product on its icon.
You know, I a lot of people were really up in arms at the renaming. I think it's fine. Their messaging was slightly mixed, because some of their material says it's called Groove. Some says it's Groove Music.
Yeah.
And it still says that.
I'm being told my technical director that it's actually the exact same service. So when you download the technical preview, they have literally just changed the name of the icon. So it really is OneDrive SkyDrive. Yeah.
I don't know if they've updated it yet to add any new features. I'm not sure.
I don't think so. I mean, I'll have to... I'll download the preview and I'll tell you in a week, but I'm betting it's not. I mean, it was a well-baked program. The service actually does work in the preview, at least, but I don't really use it.
I
had a live subscription forever, and I think I just let it lapse last year.
I do like Xbox Music. Paul and I always joke we're like the only two people who use it, but there are definitely more than just us using it. They have a really good song catalog. It's pretty easy to use all in all, especially if you're in the Microsoft ecosystem. It's a good service. So I'm not a hater. Not a hater about it.
No, I'm not a hater. I don't do that.
I don't stream music.
I don't need it. Yeah. I'm not going to pay for something I'm not going to use. But I mean, it's not saying, oh gosh, this is a horrible service. I don't buy Apple's or Google's or anybody else's.
Yep.
Okay. Shall we move about to the Surface Pro 4? We talked a little bit about this last week, and we were wondering where it was, and Mary Jo found it.
Last week we did a few rumor smash things, and today we're going to do another rumor. This is a rumor that came up this week that said Surface Pro 4 might not actually ship until 2016. It's a rumor from Business Korea magazine, and I guess Engadget Japan then also has reported it, or maybe they just copied what Business Korea magazine said. So here's what I know about Surface Pro 4. Nothing. I have gotten no tips on it. I have not seen it in the wild. I haven't found anyone who sent me secret pictures of it. We still think Microsoft is building a Surface Pro 4 that will be a successor to the Surface Pro 3, Intel-based, more of a high-end machine. Not, you know, the Surface 3 that they came out with this summer was more of a kind of like the little sister machine to Surface Pro 3. But we think there is going to be a new flagship Surface tablet coming. The question is when. And what processor will it run? We don't know. I've seen people guessing Skylake. Is that the next Intel one?
Yeah.
But that's not even out till fall of this year, right?
Right.
So,
that's been my sort of assumption. It's been super quiet. Surface has got quite a good track record of keeping things quiet. It's been super quiet. But releasing it now with a Broadwell, I think it would be pointless.
I do too. You know, what's the point, right?
Broadwell is perfectly fine, but Skylake is coming out in theory in a few months, and Skylake will be better. Yep. And so why not just wait for Skylake? Yep. 2016, though, that would be a little more surprising. I have no information, so it may be perfectly true. That seems like quite a long time away.
Of the channel information that's coming out, which I always find incredibly useful because that basically tells you when they're assembling product, is that Samsung's newest SSD, which is the new format, it almost works like a locally connected PCI Express SSD. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to transfer data four times the rate of standard SATA 6 or SATA Revision 3, what we call SATA 6.
Yep.
Microsoft is supposedly part of a group of 20 million of these things that have been ordered. If they put those in the Surface 4, which they can because they're low profile, they're designed to be put into system integration scenarios, that's actually a compelling reason to get a Surface. You could have a laptop/tablet that has a ridiculously fast transfer rate, making everything run faster. I mean, that's what I like about this little Acer S7 I use. This is the laptop I've been using for the last 3 years. I can't tell you when it was the last time I used a laptop for this long, but I do video editing on this, not because it's super fast, but because it's got it's a rated SSD, and it just makes it feel so nice. If Microsoft does that for the Surface 4, that becomes a killer feature. It's not just a faster processor or a nicer screen. It's, no, everything is faster.
Yeah, that I think that would be unusual for that form factor. Like, you know, there's a few laptops, again, with the PCIe SSDs. And, yeah, the disks in those are monstrously fast, like 1.5 gigabyte a second fast, which is ridiculous.
Samsung's NVMe, I think that's what they call it. It does 2 gigabits, gigabytes per second. It's ridiculously fast.
Like the fastest I've used is 1.5. I think that was a ThinkPad. So 2 gigs a second. That's really quick. So that thing will boot fast. That's for sure.
But this is the source of the rumor, right? So they're saying these 20 million SSDs that have been ordered are going to be available in the second half of 2016. So they're saying, well, that means Surface Pro 4 is going to wait for that. I don't believe that
is a good cause and effect thing here.
You wouldn't wait for that? I mean, I would totally wait for that. I mean, if you can get
1.5 gigs on hardware shipping today, you do not wait a year to get 2 gigs a second.
Yeah. But, you know, you have to think about Microsoft. So supply chain, you're not just buying stuff for the next thing you're building. You're buying for the future too, right? So they're buying for Surface Pro 5 now, probably, because you have to assemble all these components. So that could be a buy they're making for next year's machine. I tend to think Surface Pro 4 is going to be this fall. I keep thinking this is when it makes sense because Microsoft needs something for the holiday, right? Mm-hmm. They need something to showcase Windows 10 when they do the next big update to it, which we think is October. Mm-hmm. So I really think we're going to see a bigger launch type thing for holiday hardware, including a Surface Pro 4 this fall. That's my
guess. What I would really like them to do is to have, you know, Windows 10 will have new biometrics framework, you know, have like a fingerprint reader or a Hello compatible webcam, something like that. Again, you know, it's showing Windows in the best light. Like, this is one of the, like, I still don't have hardware that I can do Windows Hello on, which is really frustrating because I want to test it and see how well it works. But there's very little out there. I think they should use Surface Pro 4 to show off some of that tech. Because, you know, Surface Pro 3, I think, has gone down well in enterprise circles. Mm-hmm. And adding stuff like fingerprint readers and that kind of thing shows off the operating system better and plays well to those enterprise audiences. So to me, it's win-win.
Okay.
So we don't know for sure when Surface Pro 4 is coming. I'm skeptical they'll wait till the second half of next year. That seems like...
What would your best bet be? If we were to see a Surface Pro, fall. Would it be 2015 or are they going to wait till the beginning of 2016?
Fall 2015 is my guess.
So
October.
Back to a back to school type device.
No, they miss back to school if it's October.
You have to start manufacturing those at the start of summer.
Yeah, you kind of do now, right? Yeah. I would say maybe a holiday machine. So I'm guessing October 2015.
Yeah. So for all you Surface aficionados, just wait till Christmas and pick yourself up a 4.
Yeah, with Skylake, I think.
Yes. I did want to talk about one thing. This has got me excited. I don't have an Xbox One, but we do have an Xbox One in the house that I'd like to play with. If you have one, make sure that you receive the update this weekend that will be adding your Xbox 360 compatibility. This was the much vaunted feature that they announced at E3 this year down in Los Angeles. But also, it's going to give you streaming to Windows 10. So if you've got a Windows 10 box up and running, you're going to be able to basically play games anywhere in the house as long as your Xbox 10 is hooked up to the network. I really like this. This believe it or not, this is one of the things that has most excited me about Microsoft news this week. Windows 10 RTM, very cool. But the idea that I can play my games down the hallway from where the console is actually located, that I like. That's tech that I actually want to see in action. Dr. Pizza, have you been playing with the streaming feature at all?
No. My colleague, Kyle, who writes about games for Ars Technica, we've been trying to get it working actually the last few days, and he has not had any luck so far. it's something I want to try, but I was going to wait until my fast desktop PC with good network connections is on Windows 10, and I'm still on Windows 8.1 because I have enough trouble with that. I'm not going to run a beta operating system yet. I'm sure it'll be great, and I'm looking forward to it because I our apartment isn't huge, and like being able to have play on the Xbox while my wife is watching TV you know, we have one big TV because that's all we have room for. I think that would be really nice. I really want to try it, and I think it's actually a pretty neat idea. But no, I haven't sort of seen it like on my own hardware working yet. So
I wish Paul was here because he could tell us about playing Call of Duty over stream.
Yeah, I'm sure he's used it for Call of Duty. Yeah. No doubts about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Specs is saying that the Xbox One should update itself, but I know the people who really want to play with this will be waiting and just staring at the screen and seeing if it picks up the update, because it does stagger it. I mean, they're not going to send them all out at the same time. Mary Jo, what's next?
I think we should have a little comic relief, or at least just a break. I think we should look at Paul Sway.
Okay. Tell me about Paul Sway.
So Paul has been on vacation in Ireland for the past week plus, and I was saying to him before he left, you should use Microsoft's new Sway tool to kind of pull all your photos together, and it's a really nice way to be able to show it off to people without having to stress yourself out too much, because Sway is a program that designs things for you. You just plug in a bunch of photos and texts, and then you hit a button, and it remixes it, and magically you get all these different design options. So he built one, and I gave you guys in the show notes a link to it just so you can scroll through. He went to a bunch of different cities, drove around. The most amazing thing is it was sunny almost the entire time he was in Ireland. if you've ever been to Ireland, you know that's pretty rare. It's kind of like Seattle, not usually very sunny. But yeah, he saw lots of cool things, and only the last 2 days, I think, were not sunny. But if you scroll through and you click on one of his slide decks, like where he says, here's Dingle, and it has a whole bunch of pictures kind of underneath each other that roll through in a slideshow, a horizontal slideshow, plus the vertical scrolling. It's nice. I use Sway to organize my pictures when I went on vacation earlier this year when I went to Vietnam. And it just is a really quick way to say to people, hey, here's a link. Go look at my pictures. Super easy. So he has some nice shots. I think he took them all with his, I would guess, with his Lumia. Maybe not.
I do like the way it's set up. Is this supposed to be competing with the, what do they call that in Google? When it just puts together all your pictures and videos into a nice little video, a story?
No, not that. I forget what they call that too. Not that so much. This is more, it's almost like an offshoot of PowerPoint, right? It's similar to PowerPoint in that it's a presentation app, except it's more design focused, I would say. It uses a lot of things on the back end, like the cloud and machine learning, so that it can kind of pick out what you're trying to do and figure out how you're trying to assemble things. So it's one of Microsoft's examples of a future Office app that they mm-hmm. are building for mobile. And it's for iOS and Windows versions coming. Android version also is coming.
It's more deliberate. I actually do like that. Google was fun because it was like a surprise gift you'd get every once in a while. But yeah. I like the idea of a piece of software that's really easy to use, but I get to control what goes in there.
Exactly. Yeah, Microsoft is doing that kind of here's your weekend photos thing now with OneDrive. I don't know if Dr. Pizza, if you get that now. Like I get the photos you took on OneDrive. Blah.
Oh, no, I haven't. That's interesting.
Yeah, I'm getting that recently from them as a regular email at the end of the week. Like, hey, here's the... And for me, it's kind of boring. It's like, here's the 500 beer pictures you took this weekend. Here's a beer. Yes. Here's another beer. So it's not that exciting usually, unless I go somewhere.
Nice. So that's Sway. You can... Where do they go if they want to download the preview?
Sway.com. Yeah. I'm pretty sure. Yep.
Very cool.
And yeah, you can check out the web version, and it has a tutorial there. There's a lot of stuff to check out. A nice little red panda example.
I've got a little bit of a redirection of anger that's busted out over Windows 10 over the last week. You've probably heard about this. Extreme Tech published a story about Windows 10. There's a feature in the preview called YSense, and the idea is that it will share your Wi-Fi password with your friends, people who are related to you, so that you could, for example, use their Wi-Fi password when you go near their house, their business, and they can use yours when they go near your house or your business. And the underlying idea was sound, which is you don't want a password that you deliberately make easy just so you could share it with your friends. And also, you don't want a password that you write down because then it becomes very insecure. Good idea. I actually think that's a cool feature. The way that it was implemented was not so great. The way that it shares this Wi-Fi password is it's assuming that everyone who is in your Outlook, Skype, or Facebook friends profile is your friend, and therefore they should get access to your Wi-Fi password.
If you tell it to.
That's something that I always start the story off, which is it's an opt-in. So you have to tell it that you want to turn this on. It doesn't come on by default. And when you do turn it on... When you do turn it on, it actually gives you a warning. It says exactly what it's going to do. So there was a lot of brouhaha over the last week that this is Microsoft being horrible.
And the sharing is on a per network basis. I think you have to tick the box, I'm pretty sure. And of course, that's the kind of thing that could always change in a new build. But you know, when you sign into the network, you have to tick the box, say, yes, I want to share this one.
Right.
License.
But the issue was, so you got granularity on the selection of which networks you wanted to open up to these friends, but you did not get granularity on the other side. If you wanted to share it with your friends, it would literally go to every contact in Outlook, Skype, and Facebook. You couldn't say, I would like to share it with these Facebook friends and these people from Outlook and these people from Skype. That's not great.
This feature has been there for a while, too, hasn't it?
Been in Windows Phone for a while.
Yeah.
Like, since Windows Phone 8 or 8.1.
Yeah,
one turned it on.
I
always shut it off. I always make sure it's off.
I don't care. It's like, here's the thing. These are all Wi-Fi networks using shared passwords. It doesn't work, I don't think, for, you know, there are enterprise authentication for Wi-Fi. I don't think it works that. I think it is just for shared passwords. And you know what? If you tell me your shared password for your network, I can stick it on my Facebook wall. I can tweet it. I can print it out on pieces of paper and stick it up all over the town. It's a shared password. It's inherently insecure. It's like inherently something that you have no control over once you tell someone. To my mind, this is not making something that is secure insecure. It's making something that's basically insecure and keeping it basically insecure.
Yeah.
Well, a feature like this has existed since Windows XP. In XP, you used to be able to make a little USB drive that would contain your network credentials. You could give that USB drive to some other Windows users. They'd plug it in. They'd be able to access your wireless network without having to know the password, which is essentially what this does. This is the same idea.
Then they'd give it back to you, so you'd still have control.
So you could give them access to the network without ever having to share credentials, that's actually a good idea. As long as you have that USB drive, because it can't copy it, you still have your credentials with you. This went one step further, and I'm not sure how they did it. I haven't actually looked into the technology, but if you're a guest on a network that you've received the password from YSense for, words are not working well right now. it only gives you access to the internet. It should not let your computer see any of the other devices that are on that network, that's actually a very good practice. Now, people have brought up, well, what if someone does something illegal on my network while they're connected to it? Well, then they probably shouldn't be your friend. And you should.
Right. I mean, what if they do that anyway?
Exactly.
Like, I've been to the Twitter office. You've got the guest network with the password written on the wall. Yep. And it's like, whatever it is, I can't remember now, but it's in my phone. I could pull it out if I wanted to, and I could do whatever the hell I wanted with that password.
Regularly get takedown notices on that.
I could sit outside your office and crack into, you know, hack into the Pentagon using your Wi-Fi if I wanted. It's like, that's just the nature of Wi-Fi with shared passwords.
Right.
You know, I could sell it to Russians. I don't think they'd pay very much money, but like, these are all things that I can do. I think the upset over Wi-Fi Sense is very strong. I mean, it would be nice if I could be more granular and say, well, share it with these friends, but not these friends. But that would make it a big hassle, probably.
But I mean, that's my point. My point is, I actually kind of like this feature. I think it's not ready. It doesn't do what I want it to do. But I like the idea of being able to reach out to somebody and say, hey, you know what? Could we exchange passwords? Because when I'm in your part of the city, I'd love to be able to get Wi-Fi access. And I'll let you have access to mine as well.
Cool.
That's a cool feature. I like that. I think all of the indignation that's built up on top of that is just a way to get upset about something you
about. I think people are writing from this sort of mistaken perspective that somehow their Wi-Fi was secure before this and will now somehow be rendered insecure afterwards. And I don't really see that. I don't think that's accurate.
All right. Well, Mary Jo, yes. Were we supposed to do Q&A?
Yeah, we should do some Q&A since we have people listening and watching.
Let's do that. How do we do that? I have no idea how we do that.
Yeah. So you usually check the chat room, you being Leo. You're Mr. Leo today. And you can check the chat room and see if people have any questions for you, Peter, or me. I'll look on Twitter. If anybody has anything you want to ask us about, it doesn't have to be about today's stories. It can be anything about Microsoft. Or in Dr. Pizza's case, other things like Dota, whatever.
Yeah. So I should have been checking the chat room since the beginning of the episode is what you're telling me.
Yeah. You can check now. In case anybody wants to ask anything. Yeah. We can just give you our guesses, best estimates on things. It doesn't, like I said, doesn't have to be about Windows Phone or Windows 10. It can be about other Microsoft stuff.
Oh, this is a new thing for me. I don't normally trust chat room like this.
You know, we don't always do live chat. Sometimes we do if there's an opportunity, if there's time.
Yeah, right now I'm getting a bunch of smart arse questions.
Yeah, that you don't want to ask.
So I'm going to trust you more. Do you have any good ones from Twitter?
Oh, I have a good one here. Richard B. asks, how much do we need to raise in Kickstarter to get Dr. Pizza in his apron next time he hosts?
Ooh.
So, this
is meant to be family safe, isn't it? This is
no, that's why I didn't put the picture in the show notes. But Dr. Pizza posed in an interesting outfit earlier this week that was on Twitter.
Let me see if I can
go
find
look
it.
For that yourself if you would like. Yes, I would contribute to that Kickstarter myself.
Dr. Pizza. how do I find? Oh, there it is. Okay. So you posted this, Dr. Pizza?
Dr. Pizza's wife.
My wife. I retweeted it.
Oh, okay. You got
to
find
it. Do you want us to show it on the show or not, Dr. Pizza?
Sure.
Okay. Let me find this. How far back do I have to go to find the pizza apron?
A day or two ago. Okay. In the interim, I'll ask a couple other questions while you're looking. Darren Cohen asks, what about that Windows RT update? Yeah, what about it?
That is a good question.
Right. Microsoft said they were not going to be able to get all of Windows 10 on Windows RT-based tablets, but they did say there would be an update coming, which would be a subset of features. We don't know which features that means. Recently, Microsoft posted an FAQ on their site that said it would be coming around the same time as Windows 10, which you might assume to mean July 29th. I've asked, and they're not talking still about what's in it or exactly when that will be available or to whom or how. No. So we don't really know much about that update.
And by the way, this is that we're not able to bring full Windows 10 to Windows RT devices in the sense of we can't be bothered to bring Windows 10 to Windows RT devices.
You think they can, but they just don't want to?
Yeah. They can bring it to goddamn mobile phones. They can bring it to tablets. This is like, we just can't be bothered. It was a mistake. Let's forget about it. Let's just pretend that nobody bought them, which is basically true. I mean, it's approximately true. So you 12, 15 people who are foolish enough to buy them, sorry, but yeah.
Yeah.
It's all a terrible mistake.
Yeah.
We've got a question here from Dr. T., who would like to know from the two of you if you believe that the removal of local accounts will be the death of Windows 10.
What?
I know. That's sort of what I'm kind of staring at that going, hoping that you know what that means.
Local accounts are still there?
I know. I've got a Windows 10 preview box, and my local account works fine. So I'm
Like, to be an insider, I think you have to sign on with a Microsoft account, I think.
Well, to download the ISO, but I don't...
But local accounts are still there, so...
Yeah, I have a Windows 10 box that's not even connected to my network, and it works just fine, so...
Yeah, I don't. So I'm not sure what the question means.
I think Dr. T is just... It might be tripping. We have Adrian, who has a question for Mary Jo Foley and wants to know if you think Microsoft should spend $2 billion to get Instagram, Snapchat, or one other to develop a Windows Phone app.
You know, it's going to be interesting to me to see what happens when Windows 10 is out and Windows 10 Mobile, because I've asked Steve Guggenheimer, who heads up the developer program at Microsoft, about, you know, hey, there are a lot of apps still missing from the store. What are you going to do to get them? Are you guys going to build them yourselves like you guys did the Facebook app originally? Or are you going to pay people to write them? What are you going to do? And it sounded from his answer to me when I asked him this at Build, like Microsoft is in discussions with all these companies right now. And a lot of them are saying, we want to wait to see what you do with Windows 10. And if we like it, we'll build the platform.
Yeah.
So... I don't know if, and then if they decide no, I don't know what you do as Microsoft, right? Because they tried to build a Snapchat clone, right, Rudy? Rudy did. Rudy Hun, is that his last name?
Yeah.
And I think Snapchat snapped down on him for doing that.
Yeah, like and Microsoft built the YouTube app, which was a really nice YouTube app. And Google told them to GTFO. Yeah, it's a really tricky one that, and
I know
it gets back, you know. So the sort of Microsoft sales pitch is, yeah, well, you know, Windows 10 will be on a billion devices in, what do they say, 2 years, I think.
Yeah.
And you know what? Even if that's true, what if like 900 million of them are desktop PCs?
Right.
Because here's the thing about Snapchat: there's no desktop PC app; they don't care. There's no web app, they don't care. Instagram, no desktop app, no web app, they don't care. You know, they only care about the phone.
Yeah.
And so that's like, yeah, you know, I think universal apps will help, particularly if they can sell some phones. But like, if you're a developer who only cares about the phone, like many of these trendy startups do, then universal apps aren't really going to sway you, I don't think.
Yeah.
And that's a very awkward position for Microsoft.
I have a good question here. I just lost it. What about Microsoft Band 2? Asks Alex Kvin. I know I just butchered your name. Sorry. I haven't heard another one like the Surface Pro 4. I have not heard any credible rumors about when the next band will be out. The one thing I have heard is it will not be running Windows 10 Core, that it will still be running firmware, dedicated firmware, and that it might be not until band 3 or later that they actually start making the band run with a Windows 10 Core. But if I were going to guess when band 2 might come out, I would say if I were Microsoft, I would try to get all my hardware in alignment and maybe do a big launch this fall, so you get Surface Pro 4, Band, and a bunch of other things. But I don't know if they could pull that off. That would be a pretty big undertaking. So,
yeah, I mean, like, did you hear anything about Band before it came out?
No, not really. No. I mean, we heard Microsoft was doing a wearable, and a lot of people thought it was a watch, right?
Yeah.
So
you know, I presume that group, much like the Surface group, is pretty good at keeping a lid on things. So. I would like to see a Band 2. I thought the Band 1 was surprisingly good for a version 1 Microsoft product. So it would make sense to do a Band 2.
Yeah.
We've got a question from TTXGP fan who wants to know if Cortana and Edge will ever make its way to 8.1.
No, they won't.
I doubt it. I'm doubtful on that.
Now, is it that it can't make its way because it's not compatible with the 8.1 kernel, or they would want you to upgrade to 10?
They won't. They want you to upgrade to 10.
Yeah. Although, you know, I don't know if you remember this, Dr. Pizza, when they did, I think it was a Reddit AMA recently, or maybe it was a few months ago, and someone asked them, would you ever bring Edge back to a previous version of Windows, like 7 or 8? They left it open-ended when they answered that. They said, we'll watch demand. So they didn't.
7 makes sense, 8 doesn't.
Yeah.
Just because 7 will have that corporate reach, whereas 8 won't really.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would be semi surprised to see it on Windows 7, but I would be less surprised to see it on 7 than I would on 8. No, it won't work on Windows XP.
What about
Don't
Vista?
Try this at home.
I still have a Vista box or two.
Probably not.
I actually have one of these. I'm not sure if you got one of these, Mary Jo, but it was a 17-inch laptop, totally specced out for the time, that arrived with Vista, and not asked for, just showed up at my door one day.
I got that too. Yep.
I mean, it was nice hardware. I used it for a while, but it didn't make me want to say Vista is awesome.
No, that was just meant to give us review units, I think, and they wanted to make sure it was going to be easy for us to install. So, hey, let's just ship them a laptop.
Well, it's funny because when the facts about the Surface came out, how much money they spent on advertising, and people were saying, well, they could have just bought all the reviewers a Surface. And I've said, well, they did that once.
They never did that again. That was
a bad strategy.
Yeah.
It would have been fun to receive one, but no, that was not a good strategy. Q&A.
I have more. Do you want to do more?
Let's do one more.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
Oh man, there's so many here. There are so many good ones here. It's hard to choose. Let's see. Somebody said, "Don't get Dr. Pizza talking about Dota." I won't.
Dota is the greatest video game ever made. Dota 2. it's literally the best game ever.
I take it it's an indie.
Valve. So
it's Valve.
Not really. Yeah.
No, we're not talking about Dota.
Okay, we're not talking about Dota. All right. Where do I get Dota?
Dota 2.
You get him going, we'll never get him to stop.
Okay. Go with your one more question.
Okay. Here's one from Lucas Wisla. Another name I'm sure I did terribly with. Do you think we will ever see Skype for Business and the regular Skype consumer back-end technologies merge? Or will it be more like what's happening with OneDrive Pro? I don't think they are ever going to be on the exact same backbone. They are not right now. And I've never heard them say the plan is to put them on the same backbone. The plan, though, is to make them look and feel more similar. And I believe to interoperate better.
Yeah.
I don't know if Dr. Pizza knows more on that.
No, I don't. I would really like them to become more similar. I think the what's it called, Skype for Business client, is a better client. It's a better app than the Skype, regular Skype app. I would like them to. I think having the Federation is kind of the first step. But once you have the Federation, I don't see why you would maintain two separate networks.
Yeah.
Because they're pretty much having to develop everything twice. Because, I mean, the features aren't identical between them, but there's a ton of overlap. And they're having to develop once for Skype and once for Skype for Business. And you would think long-term, that's not the best way of doing it. You'd think long term, you could say, actually, we could just move this over to one system and maintain it once and not twice. But
I think it's a case, though, like OneDrive, right, where the names are the same, but the actual technologies underneath are not.
Yeah. I think in terms of what they do, Skype and Skype for Business are actually closer than OneDrive and OneDrive for Business. Because OneDrive for Business is SharePoint, and SharePoint does stuff like I remember people were complaining that it changed the metadata in their Office documents. And it's, yeah, because that's something that SharePoint does, apparently. So I would like to see Skype and Skype for Business become the same thing. I think that's a sensible thing.
All right. Well, that's our Q&A. We'll be back next time with Paul and Leo to do a proper Q&A rather than this random buckshot Q&A, because I wasn't actually scanning the chat room for questions.
Yeah, it actually worked out. We get a lot of questions. We get tons we didn't even ask. So
yeah, that's always good. That's good. Yeah. Tip of the week. This actually is a nice one. I saw this morning in the notes, and I started downloading almost immediately.
So there's a Microsoft employee who's a really great guy. I've met him before. His name is Eric Ligman. And he, every year around this time, his title is Senior Sales Excellence Manager. And every year at this time, he assembles all these ebooks and other electronic documents about all kinds of Microsoft products. And he puts them all in one site, and they're free downloadables. There are like hundreds of these things. There's books on Azure, there's books on System Center and storage and CRM and Office, and I mean, you name it, it's here. He puts these all here. You can come download them as much as you want. There's no catch. You don't have to sign up or subscribe or like pay anything at all. And the way to find this is to either search for Eric Ligman and Microsoft. You'll come upon his blog and see the first post. Or you can go to blogs.msdn.com/b/ms-small-biz with a Z, and you'll also get to his blog.
And I'm assuming that the higher ups know that he's doing this, right? He's not.
They
just,
do. They're letting him do it. Yeah, there are tons of books. People every year can't wait for him to do this because it's like this huge brain dump of all this free stuff, which is really awesome. So if you want to learn about any Microsoft products and you don't want to pay for extra cost for books or tutorials right off the bat, if you want to just see, hey, am I interested in this? This is the way to go.
I think I saw a few of these in the Microsoft store when I went up there. And so now I can get them for free. Yay.
Yep.
It's a good price.
Yep.
I'm cheap. All right. I actually have one. This was a know-how thing that I was going to do. I ended up not doing because we didn't really need it. But people have been asking me how they get their registration key off of Windows 8. Now, I'm not big on this because it doesn't actually help you there, especially if you've got something like an OEM machine. This is not going to work with a retail copy of Windows 8. You can't just download an ISO, put in your key, and have it work. But there actually is a Visual Basic script that you can download off of, it's off of TechNet. So, Alex, if you go over here, they call it the backup Windows product key in Windows 8. This little script right here, when you run it, will actually give you, and let me cancel that out right now, will give you exactly what your product ID and your installed key is. Now, that's important because you need to match up the product ID with what you're actually trying to install. So that tells you what you need to buy if you're buying another copy off the internet. And there you go. I mean, there's a lot of people out there who have OEM copies of Windows who may want to know what the installation key is, and it's probably not listed on the box or in the manuals anywhere because we just don't do that anymore. One little script from Microsoft, and you get a pop-up that tells you what you got to copy down. Not bad.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice tip.
And again, free because I'm cheap.
Free is good.
Free is good. You know, let me throw one more in here because I have been struggling with this for the longest time, finding a way to download things into my Windows box from YouTube. Every once in a while, I need to get some content so I can edit it down. There's a lot of different apps you can use. I don't trust any of the ones that install themselves in my browser. Most of them I found have done bad things. There used to be a hack you could do with VLC where you could find the source URL, drop it into the streaming device of VLC, and just copy down the video. You can't do that anymore. YouTube's actually disabled that. But if you go ahead and go to this other window, Alex. So if I wanted to take this video right here and I wanted to get rid of the ad, what I can do is I can just copy the URL, put it into savefrom.net, and go ahead and do this. It's going to take a look at the video. And this works not just for YouTube. This will work off of Facebook. Actually, it'll work off of pretty much all of these formats you see down here. And now it gives me the option to download this in whatever format I want, including all the way up to the largest format it's got, which on this one is 480p. And there you go. So savefrom.net. It'll work for any operating system. It doesn't have to be Windows, but it works pretty well.
Until Google kills it off somehow.
Until Google kills it. Yeah, the VLC trick worked for the longest time, and it still works for a couple of videos. But Google is pretty good about killing off different ways to download content, because you're not supposed to do it. How about an enterprise pick of the week, Mary Jo?
Yeah, so this is not an upbeat pick either. Sorry, guys. But it's something people should know about, especially if you live in most of Europe, Australia, or Canada. On August 1st, Microsoft is going to raise prices for many, if not all, of its cloud products.
Oh, yeah.
This is across the board. This is Azure, Office 365, CRM Online, Enterprise Mobility Suite, and more. The country that is exempted from this is the UK. But otherwise, all of those.
Is Xbox going to go up as well? Because
I have not heard about Xbox.
Yeah.
Right. I haven't heard. But the reason this is happening is currency fluctuations, of course, and the euro versus the dollar, and also the Canadian dollar. And Australia, I guess, too, is all in the same boat here. The prices are not going up by a small amount. They're going up by a lot. Azure is going up. Let me see. The numbers are big.
8 to 10% for Office 365.
Yeah, 8 to 10% for Office 365.
EMS. Azure, I think.
EMS 20+%, 26 actually, 26%. CRM Online 10%.
26%.
So yeah,
that's a lot.
It's a lot. Yeah, it's a lot.
Because these are expensive products to start off with. CRM and EMS,
and particularly as like. I'm presuming like the data centers are spread around the world.
They are. Yep.
So all of the sort of operating costs that are being incurred are incurred in local currency.
Right. Right. So, 11% up in EU and the European free trade zone, and that's for Azure, and 26% for Australia, that's Azure. Yeah, so I've had people ask me, what if I pay in U.S. dollars? I don't know. I don't know what if you're in those regions and you pay in U.S. dollars for your contract. I don't know. But yeah, it's just a little warning bell for you because I think it's for people who are on certain non-volume licenses, you should go and check the fine print and see if maybe you could save by re-upping before August 1st. You have a few weeks left. But yeah, that's my enterprise
like
tip.
If you're paying like a year at a time, like you can for Office 365, I guess it makes sense to pay now.
Do they have multi-year deals? Can I lock in the next 5 years at the lower price?
I'm doubtful, but I don't know. What they say is the changes will not affect existing annuity volume licensing agreements, but they will apply to enterprise cloud products that are under new or renewing contracts. Make of that what you will. That's the fine print. So sorry for the downer pick, but I just wanted to warn you guys about
it. Wait a minute. A pick's supposed to make me feel good.
I know. Sorry.
I'm cheap. Remember, I've already established I'm very cheap. I don't like price increases.
Now our next pick is way more fun. Dr. Pizza has a pick. A cool gadget of the week pick.
Yes, you do. Right.
Yes, I nominated you for this one because you did a little article.
Right. I wrote it up. Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Right.
Do that. Do that for the pick. Cool gadget of the week.
This company called The Wand Company, they make really nice looking replicas of like things from science fiction. So they have this Bluetooth communicator from Star Trek, the original series. And it does look the part. It looks really smart. It'll be $150, and they're not shipping until next year. But it's a Bluetooth headset, so it'll pair with your phone, and you can use it to tell people to beam you up and whatever else you tell people on a communicator, mainly beam me up.
It'd be hilarious to use this on the New York subway and watch people's reactions. Yeah.
I don't think anyone in New York's going to be phased. People in New York have seen pretty much
That's true.
Yeah, so the company also has like a sonic screwdriver from...
Okay, that I would get. That would
from I don't know what the sonic screwdriver does. May just light up. They also have a phaser and maybe one or two other things.
We've got a pretty serious techie here, RTD. Alex, how close is this? I mean, if you're thinking replica, is this a nice replica?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I mean, they say they scanned it from like the real props, like through some 3D scanning from the real props, and it's made of metal and plastic. And
you have to have these three different colored gemstones for this to work properly. Otherwise.
So yeah, it definitely looks the part. But like, I'm pretty sure I had one of these like 10 years ago, and it's called a Motorola Razr V3.
Life imitating art, getting imitated by life, I guess.
It looks pretty cool.
Yeah, it does.
And we have one beer pick of the week. This is the part that I'm really trying. Actually, I was at the ballpark last night here in San Francisco, and my brother told me I should start with a stout. And so he bought me a stout, and I decided I do not like stout.
Oh, no, not your thing, huh?
Well, I don't know, because I wasn't sure what I was tasting. It just tasted very...
stouty?
I guess. I'm trying, Mary Jo. I'm really, really trying. That was obviously not the beer for me to start with.
Yeah, you know, it's not. Stouts are not for everyone, but no beer is for everyone except me, I guess. I'm pretty open to trying anything. So for my beer pick, I'm picking a New York-based brewery that's very small called Grimm, and I'm picking it because they have such an awesome name for their beer. And I did have this beer too. It's called Oregon Accumulator. It's a Saison beer brewed with oranges. And so it has like a light orange taste, but it's a Saison. And the reason I picked it is lately I've noticed I've been having a lot of beers with really crazy names. And that's one of the things I love about beers as opposed to many wines, that they have these crazy names. Like I had a beer over the weekend called All the Hip Hops because it uses all these new hops that are out in the market. That was from Other Half. But Oregon Accumulator, you know, if you know your history at all, Oregon, O-R-G-O-N-E, was supposed to be this universal life force that Wilhelm Reich proposed back in the 30s. And then supposedly he was trying to build something where it was like a box where you could put people and it would do things like cure cancer if you were in the box. Obviously, it was not real. And he, I think, went to jail, if I remember correctly, for falsely claiming this could cure cancer. But I love that Grimm named their beer Oregon Accumulator. And on the label, they have an image of a guy in a cube, like the Oregon Accumulator. So I just picked it because I love the name. You know, sometimes you pick a wine because you like the picture on the label. Or maybe I just do that. I don't know. But that's my beer pick of the week, just because I love the name.
I wouldn't know because I haven't gotten into wine either. So I have a long way to go. I have to get into beer and wine.
We have another pick to do that I didn't put in the show notes, a surprise pick. Hmm. Dr. Pizza would like to do a tea pick of the week.
I have a.
That's probably more my speed.
So the Adagio Tea's ginger peach tea. Let me stick that in. Oh, I don't have the one note up. I closed it. Oh, sorry.
I like this tea pick of the week. I like tea also.
Adagio ginger peach tea.
Yeah, it's I've mentioned on the show before, I drink iced tea made with Mr. Coffee iced tea machine, which is still excellent. The ginger peach has good taste of ginger. There's also the sort of sweetness of the peach. It's very enjoyable iced. It's been a nice cooling drink for the summer.
It has my my key phrase too. This tea contains a high level of caffeine. So I am sold. You've got me.
Yeah. No, it's comes out great iced. It's very good.
So this is obviously a sweet tea.
Sweeter it is. It's not particularly sweet. I put a couple of packets of Splendor in it.
And, so once I'm done with it will be a sweet tea because
I
poured lots of sugar into everything.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have mine like southern sweet, but I do have it with sweetener because I just find it's necessary to bring out the fruitiness and the full flavor.
I like it.
It's recommended.
Next time, I didn't know tea was an option.
Because Adagio is great because you can get like tiny little samples for a couple of bucks, so you can try out a bunch of flavors, and then see what you like.
My brother tried to get me into tea about 4 years ago, and I think he actually got me an Adagio sampler set, but he thought he should start me off with really weak teas, and it just tasted like hot water to me. So maybe I can try some ginger peach and it will bring me into the tea world.
Yeah, no, you need to make it pretty strong, I think.
Well, folks, that does it for this episode of Windows Weekly. Of course, we want to thank our fantastic hosts, guests, starting with the one, the only, the incomparable Mary Jo Foley from, I'm going to say it again because I just said it last week and I feel so bad about it, All About Android, which we know is not true. She's from All About Microsoft.
I did say that last week.
It was a force of habit. I'm so sorry about that. But of course, the All About Microsoft blog at ZDNet. ZDNet. Where else can they find you, Mary Jo? If they're looking for your latest and greatest missive about Microsoft, is that the best place to go, or should they go onto the tweeters? Should they find you elsewhere?
Yeah, they should go on my blog, allaboutmicrosoft.com, or I'm also on Twitter at Mary Jo Foley. You can find stuff in both places.
Of course. And Dr. Pizza, Peter Bright from Ars Technica, where can they find your work?
At arstechnica.com. I'm on Twitter at Dr. Pizza. That's where you find me. Arstechnica.com. That's the main place.
Fantastic. Paul Thurrott will be back next week, right, Mary Jo?
He will.
Yep. Along with Leo Laporte. You can find them all here on Twit TV, Wednesdays, 11 o'clock p.m. Pacific. That's right. Dr. Evil will be making his way back from his trip across Europe. Don't forget that you can always watch us live, live.twit.tv. If you watch us live, jump into the chat room at irc.twit.tv. It's a good place to give your feedback to the host while the show is going on. Maybe ask a couple of questions. Maybe make a couple of observations. If you can't join us live, don't fret, because you can always download Windows Weekly anywhere quality podcasts are found, Stitcher, iTunes, any number of outlets. And of course, you'll find every episode of Windows Weekly on our brand new site, twit.tv/WW, Windows Weekly. If you go there, you'll find a little drop-down menu where you can subscribe to get every episode automatically in the format of your choice. We've got audio, video, high-definition video into the device of choice, be it your iPhone, although if you're listening to this on an iPhone, you're a traitor, or a Mac, a PC, desktop, laptop, whatever it may be. Don't forget that twit.tv is your source for all geekiness, and, we'll see you next week on Windows Weekly.
Oh, I have one more thing to add. May I add?
Let's add one more thing.
Next week, I'm going to be at the Microsoft Worldwide Partner Conference in Orlando. And we don't have a meetup plan there because I just couldn't hack doing another meetup. It's a lot of work. But if you see me and you want to hang out, I'll be around. I'll be in the halls. So look for me there. All you thousands of partners who listen to the show.
Enjoy your sweat.
Yes. Orlando in July. Awesome.
That'd be nice.
I could beat that. DC in August or September.
Yeah. Oh, so bad.
That's horrible.
that is brutal.
So bad. September, August, actually, okay. So July and August is hot, but September it gets hot. And of course it's humid, but then there's no wind. So it sits on you like a wet blanket, which is wonderful. Yeah. It's great.
Yeah, this is one of the big reasons why I recently moved from Houston.
Houston's really sticky too, right? I mean, it's
yeah.
Because I know Austin's not that bad.
Yeah, no, when you get further north, further from the coast, it's okay. Well, I mean, it's still far hotter than any human should ever live in, but but you can actually sweat without drowning, whereas Houston, it sits on your skin and like everything is hard work.
Although New York can get pretty bad in the summer.
Yes,
it can. Yeah.
Today is no prize.
Yes, today is like mid-90s or something crazy. Yeah, but the difference is, you see, and this is why we moved, New York summer is like a couple of months. Houston, it's like 8 months.
Meanwhile, in Boston, there's still a 12-foot high mound of snow.
I know.
In 80 degrees. It hasn't melted yet. It's 80 degree days.
Paul is so lucky.
And you know why it hasn't melted? Because it's a mixture of snow and garbage.
Yeah.
Because during the big snowstorm, people were putting their trash out, and you had these front loaders that were just picking everything up, trash and snow. And so now you have a bunch of frozen garbage that will be rotting into the summer in Boston.
Well, no, but at least the cold will stop it from rotting.
You hope.
it'll be preserved, pristine garbage.
Pristine garbage.
Yeah.
Delicious.
All right. Show title. Huh. Oh, wait, Mary Jo, am I supposed to use the title on top of the notes as a show title? Is that how that works?
No, usually Leo asks the chat room for titles.
Chat room, show title. Man, or hosts, just show title.
I was super depressed today. I'm just so...
Well, that first story was such a doubter.
I know, really, but we have to cover it.
You have to cover it. You do.
You can't. Yeah. I know. Layoffs are a horrible thing. When you're a journalist and you have to cover layoffs, you feel terrible, but it's your job. You have to do it.
Show title, phoning it in. Oh, no.
Oh.
That's going to get us double depressed.
Brutal.
Granularity. That was just one story. Oh, yeah, no, Drew, they're going to edit the one more thing into the main show. So it's not going to be at the end there.
Oh, okay, thanks.
The pristine, delicious garbage. That's after the show. That no one would have any idea what we're talking about. Actually, that's two votes for phoning it in.
Microsoft's new groove.
That wins. Microsoft's new groove.
Pretty good.
Or how about how Microsoft got its groove back?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Ironic on a day when they're cutting all those people.
I know. I heard about it, but this morning I had to email like 50 people and say, are you okay? Are you okay?
Yeah, I know.
That's the thing. So this is something like, and it's actually surprised me, like, Nadella's email today and like his project strategy, his company vision, whatever it was last week or the week before, I don't know. They're just so lacking in humanity. They're just, I understand, he's a business and person and he's the CEO, but it's so just clinical. Just 7,800 people lost their livelihoods.
No,
oh, well.
It's tough. What do you say? It's like, sorry, guys, we're cutting.
It's really hard, but at the same time, he's trying to save the. I mean, it's really literally he's in save the company mode. Not that it's not going anywhere, but it's going to become more and more irrelevant unless he makes some drastic moves, and that's what he's doing. I think he's doing a good job. I like him.
And it's unfortunate that they had to take Nokia down.
Yeah.
With all that.
Yeah.
Well, it was unfortunate that the whole thing. Although, okay, no, I won't say that because in hindsight, we can say the Nokia deal was a huge bust, but it could have been awesome, right? I mean, there was a point there where we thought this might be the thing.
I'm not sure what it could have done fundamentally differently. I mean, not having a flagship was a big screw up, and the hardware was screwed up somehow, and they just canceled the whole damn thing. But, like, the product. They were delayed, 8 months, was it, for like antitrust oversight before they could actually, because they wanted to finalize the purchase.
Right, for months. When they announced they were going to buy them, it was like 8 or 9 months later until they could actually start doing anything, right? Like making plans.
They said they were hoping to close at X time, and it didn't close until months later than, yep. than their original time. And so, you know, I'm sure that, you know, if it had happened sooner, they would have been able to sort of influence the product sooner, and, you know, all sorts of things might have turned out differently. But, like, you know, the sort of the dense product lineup in the value segment, Microsoft must have known that and must have, you know, they didn't have to bring all those phones to market. I'm sure they could have winged somehow, but they did. And if you look at what other companies are doing in that same sort of marketplace, it's the same thing. They have lots and lots of phones because, like, every dollar counts at that low end. You know, if you're if you put the price up $5, that's a bunch of people who can't afford to buy the phone anymore. Yeah. So, like, I don't know really what Nokia was expected to do differently.
Todd Bishop, who was on the show last week, actually said he had heard from people he knew, like his sources, that part of the reason that Stephen Elop was kind of pushed out was because of the lack of a flagship phone. And that it's very ironic that many people at Microsoft are using iPhones and Android phones because they don't have a Windows Phone flagship. Right? Yeah. I mean,
the lack of flagship, really, it sucks.
Yeah.
And a ball was dropped big time. The, you know, but like, you know, it seems a bit hard to lay off nearly 8,000 people just because one, I would guess, relatively small team screwed up the hardware for one particular phone.
I'd really like for them to show me. I want somebody to go, this is what you've been missing. All that promise that we talked about, it's finally here. I hadn't seen it yet.
Yeah. If when Windows 10 Mobile launches and they have this amazing flagship phone that launches with it and you're like, okay, there we go. Right.
I remember the first time I got a Windows phone, I thought this was going to integrate so well with all my enterprise tools. It's going to work out of the box with Exchange. And it did none of that. And that was such a missed opportunity.
They forgot about the enterprise market with this phone when it first came out.
You're an enterprise company, Microsoft. Come on.
They had a better, you know, they had to go back and re-add all these enterprise features that they had when they had the old Windows Mobile, and then they dropped them when they introduced Windows Phone because at that point they were like, hey, you know what? We need to have a consumer phone, right? But it was like, wait. All your audience is the enterprise, right? Like, that's who's buying Windows Mobile.
But then you could just as go the other way and say, well, you know, BlackBerry had a lock on the enterprise market, including both phones and the server-side stuff.
Yep.
What good did it do then? You know, it's like, I think there was no... Unless they had somehow brought out a phone that nailed consumer, nailed enterprise, and did everything from day one. It was always going to be tricky.
Yep.
Instead, it was always just wait until.
And the thing is, no one else has done that. Like, Apple didn't have it from day one. Google didn't have it from day one. Like, it was an impossible ask, really.
There's still not an enterprise phone. It's not an iPhone. It's not an Android. Like a really good pure enterprise phone. They have enterprisey features. You have BlackBerry knocking on the door saying, "Wait a minute. Remember, we used to do enterprise." But there's a market there.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not sure. I mean, the BlackBerry Android phone rumors, I guess. I think it's all rumor, not confirmed. It's like, I guess that's what they're sort of hoping to do. That will be their USP is going to be, hey, we're enterprise-y, even though it's Android. But, like, sure, if you're sort of working for the CIA or something, then sure, being able to lock down your phone super tight really matters. But most of us aren't.
Folks, I've got any of the studio engineers staring at me with ugly looks. So
let's go.
Yeah. Mary Jo, it was so much fun. Dr. Pizza, it was an honor, a privilege.
I'm sorry for being so sad this episode. I'm just bummed out by the news. I just think it's sad.
I think all of us were a little bummed out.
Yeah. But I'm trying to keep the faith for one more time.
I'm there. Oh my goodness. Wow. Alex.